gospel music. I guess all my life I've heard it sung in my family and through church. And it's good to have a way to sing out to praise the Lord. Maybe just a little different than what most people are normal with or used to, but whether you're good at it or bad at it, maybe if you just do it in your car sometimes by yourself, even if you're not real good at it, it's still uplifting the Lord. And it's when he lets you know sometimes just how small you are, that he's got everything in his control, and all you can do is put your head down and just trust in the Lord, it just kind of works in your heart to let you know, I'm nothing without him. When you get that knowledge, or you actually for just a little bit believe it, that God takes care of a lot more than I give him credit for. Many times I feel like I think that I've done something, but not without God. I'm going to end up reading about half of a book today of the Bible. And so, not getting worried because I'm going to read out of Philemon. Philemon, however you want to say it. I always called it Philemon until recently, and I heard it called Philemon or Philemon or Philemon or whatever. But Philemon is just a one chapter book. Doesn't have a lot there, so don't get worried that I'm going to be reading forever. It's just a couple books before James. Say it's 25 verses, really not even a chapter, because there's no more than just the one piece here. And it is a letter written by Paul as he was imprisoned. And Paul's really writing about another person that's here, and that's Onesimus. And Onesimus was the slave of Philemon. Now, before we get too much farther, let's just start off with slavery that we have here. And it's a little different in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, or ancient Northeast. The way they talk about it, if you go back into the Old Testament, you think about the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and they were enslaved. What that meant was is that the person that owned the slave owned them. They were completely owned by that person. And if we think about to the past history of America and the slavery that was here, it was very similar, that they were not thought of as having much value except for to do work for a person. Kind of like many times they were very low in value, that they many times were thought of even less than their livestock, that the slavery that was talked about then is not like what's being talked about here. When we get to the New Testament, we see slavery. It's to me, I see it in a couple different ways, and it was very much a social aspect, and in this time when you were a slave, you had rights that they talk about, and a lot of times if something was done wrong or if you owed somebody money and you just couldn't pay that back, you could go basically serve this man or this master, this lord, that he could, you could work off your debt. And you could, or if you were caught stealing, you might be able to go and work off your debts in society with somebody else instead of being stuck in a prison or, you know, where you're basically worthless. There's not a lot for you to do in there that you can go forward with. And as here we have Philemon, and Onesa is his slave, or was his slave, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But it's not like it that he totally owns Onesimus. Onesimus is his own person. I don't know what his initial infraction was, but what we're going to find is that he runs away. probably steals some money as he goes and finds Paul. If we know Paul, there's going to be something special that happens there. We're going to start in the 8th verse. So this is Paul's writing to Philemon to let him know something about Onesimus. Wherefore, in the 8th verse, first chapter, only chapter, 8th verse, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, though therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without my mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. That gets kind of confusing as you get through how it's written and going through here, but let me just kind of go through this a little bit and look at it. Onesimus has ran away from Philemon. Probably stole some money and he got out of there and left his, if you want to call it a term or a sentence or kind of like a working, kind of work release, I guess, or something where he wanted to pay off these debts and he had left him. And he ran into Paul. And we see that when Paul gets to talking to him, that there is a change that's going to happen to Onesimus. And he is no longer just this servant or this slave that has run away, but Paul knows that he has been saved. And knowing that and going about and knowing Onesimus' full story, that he was supposed to be working for Philemon, that he's going to basically send him back. Now, I want to look real quick Colossians, and if you look at this little section, you'll see Onesimus comes up again, because Philemon was a pretty rich guy that lived in Colossae, which is Colossians, the area for Colossians is written about, as Paul wrote to him. And we see that at that, where Philemon is that's where that church is met. It's basically there in his house or in his, I don't know how big a house he had, or a ranch, or whatever you want to call it. But in his area that he owned, that's where the church met. Of Colossians, that we see in this section right here. But we see that as we talk about that these servants had rights, or they had how they should behave, and how masters also, how they should behave, and how they should take care of those things. And I just want to read here quickly is, knowing that this relationship that goes on with these two, this is kind of how they should have been acting towards each other. In the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in a singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Going on into the fourth chapter, we're going to see where the master is going to fall into. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Kind of looking at what they're telling him, as we look back into the slavery of, if you want to call it in this time, where they become a servant, they're not supposed to go, what did it say, with eye service. You know, there's times, and I remember even times that I did it, if you're working for someone and they're standing right behind you, well, you look like you're really busy, don't you? Oh, well, yeah, oh, yeah, I got to get that and do this and, yeah, how you doing, boss? And keep going on your way. Yeah, look at all the stuff I've got going. But as soon as they leave and they're not standing over your shoulder all the time, ooh, it's time for a cupcake and some coffee. And man, I'll get to that. I'm getting there. In between bites of cupcakes, I'll get my work done. We work a little different many times if we have the boss standing over us, or if we're just doing what we should be doing. And what they're saying here is they're saying that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have to have somebody watching over you all the time for you to be putting your best foot forward. For you to be doing the best that you can. And not being men pleasers, but being God pleasers. So even in your work as a servant or a slave, you should be doing the very best you can. Knowing that the Lord will receive the reward, I'm sorry, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now we can always take these servants and slaves that we are talking about here and always put it back in between Jesus. When he saved my soul, I became a servant of his. When he saved my soul, I became a slave to Jesus. I should have been. Too many times I'm like Onesimus and I've run off on my own. But as I go in and I'm doing work for him and as I talked about, should be giving my best like he's standing right behind me, because guess what? He is standing right behind me. I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing. He knows exactly what I'm thinking. He knows if I'm acting like I'm doing my best. He knows if I'm not even trying. He knows every thought that I have. As I try to serve my Lord. And as I kind of brought up this morning, as I talked about, I'm always many times saying, well, I want to give it my best, or I'm going to do the best that I can, or I'm doing this or that, the best that I can. Most of the times, I'm lying. There's not very many times that I've said it's the best I've got, the best I can do, that I probably couldn't have done a little better. So as I look here and I think about what God has given me and the salvation that I have, and that I have to, I am supposed to work for Him and do all that I can, and I'll never repay what He's done for me, but I should be working like I'm trying to. Because I have the reward of an inheritance. You're never going to work for salvation and get salvation. Now, it makes it very clear, for not for works, for any man should boast. It is a free gift that He gives you. But the love that He puts inside of us, that He gives us when He saves our soul, should cause us to want to work for Him. And that's probably a message for another day when we look at fruits of our labors, but we should have that is going to be shown in the world, that you could just see it coming off of you, that you have God with you, and that you are working for Him, that I've talked to people, that I have given God His glory, and I have told people people of this Jesus that came upon this earth, and I'm going to tell them the good news of Jesus, and I've prayed to God, and I've sung the songs, and I've meditated, and you're like, man, that's just so much work and so much things to do for God. What about the rest of my life? Oh, boy, we get to that selfish side of us real quick. When we talk about God, we talk about salvation. The I part should be totally out of it. Because you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to get it. It's God's. So my life becomes God. And I'm very guilty of living my life. I'm very guilty of doing what I want to do. I'm very guilty of just putting myself way too high. Because I have the inheritance that God has for us. Because it says in the 25th verse that he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And it don't matter who you are. That's what that last part. That's why I kind of translate to with no respect to a person. It doesn't matter who you are, color, creed, age, anything. When you do wrong to your master, you're going to get a punishment for it somewhere, somehow. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he hath done. Onesimus, as a runaway that probably stole money and to even be able to pay for getting away, has to answer for that. Chapter 4 in Colossians, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. There's many times that we'll find that if you look through and the masters and things that were given, payments and all that, were very corrupt, and they cheated him out of money, they cheated him out of time, they cheated him out of all the things that they had done for them, and they wanted to get just a little more out of them. We should be fair in our dealings. Not trying to cheat people, not trying to go beyond just a fairness of a deal. So when we get over here to this, you know, Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus has done wrong to Philemon. He has left him. That means that in Philemon's life, that he had a job for Onesimus. I'm not sure what that was, but he depended on him. I don't know, again, going back to whatever his original offense was, if it was just money owed or whatever, I've seen that masters would pay off their debts and they would come pay it back for them. And so he needs him back to do things. And then we'll see that there are slaves in this time that had responsibilities that weren't just what we always think of as slaves. They're different. They're workers. They're paying off a debt. And I love when it gets to, Paul kind of talks and has a little bit of a fun part here, but the name Onesimus means useful. And we'll find that there's many actual Onesimuses that were called that, but he's useful. And when it gets to the 11th verse, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. He's saying he's useful. Kind of with a play on words there, that at times he's not worth anything, times he is. Just being the way Onesimus just means he's useful. And now that we see that whom I have sent again, I'm sorry, the 12th verse back in Philemon, I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. It's like he's saying that he wants him to take Philemon back in, just like he's bringing in Paul. That when Paul would come into to that area, I'm sure Philemon knew it was Paul, and would get things ready for him and welcome him into his home. And Paul saying, do that to him. When he comes back to you, even though he's wronged you, bring him in and welcome him. Because of the 10th verse, and now to go back to that. I beseech thee, and what's he calling Onesimus here? He doesn't just list him by name. My son, Onesimus. He wasn't his actual son. He was, he learned from Paul. Paul taught him. Paul gave him the word of God. And as we get on and we find that he calls him his brother. And so as he goes back in to Philemon, he tells Philemon, bring him back in just like he's me. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He didn't want to let him go. He loves him. Paul now that has brought him in and has taught him and has seen his conversion to what Onesimus was when he came to Paul to what he is now, he's a different man. He's no longer just Onesimus the slave. He is one of God's. The 14th verse. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Onesimus left and Philemon didn't know where he was at. He was without a worker. He was without a helper. But it says he received him forever. There's been a bond made between Onesimus and Philemon of a brotherhood. He lost a servant and gained a brother. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specifically to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest it to me, even thine own self besides. When Onesimus left a slave, is coming back a brother. Is there something that he is owed from Onesimus? He's wronged his master. He left, he stole. And when he goes back, he's not going to get put on the worst job ever. Paul's asking Philemon to bring him in as a brother, bring him in as an equal. And whatever he owes, put it on my account. Praise God, that was done for me once. One day I will stand before the judgment. Well, I hope it's fast. I don't know how it's going to work. But and God judges each one of us there. And he looks down through all my life and all the things that I've done, good versus bad. And he goes, and he knows that as he looks at me that I'm not good and I am worthless. I know Christ is going to stand up and say, Hold on just a second. Is that on my account? Whatever he owes you, whatever he's done wrong, put it on my account. I took it to the cross and I died for his sins. And one day, back in 1990, he bowed before me and I saved him. At the judgment, he's going to look at me and look at my life, and I look. I even try to think of some of the things that he might see one day, and all the thoughts that you've ever thought, everything good and bad that you've ever done. That's humbling to me as it is. I'm terrified of that. But I know when it comes to the end, he's going to look at the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name is written down as one of his. I'm an heir to the inheritance. I'm the son of a king. From a little nothing on this earth, it's not done anything great, and it's not ever going to be remembered. Give me a couple generations after I pass, and I'm not going to be remembered by anyone. It's fine. Because there's one that's going to remember me for eternity. And he's going to, and as I stand before him or bow before him or kneel before him, whatever it is, and I'm going to be able to thank him for paying my account in full. Now in 110 AD, the church at Ephesus, the bishop there's name was Onesimus. There's no way to 100% know for sure that it's the same one, but it's fairly well for most biblical scholars believe that this slave that left, went into Paul, was saved, was sent back to his master and asked to just let him be a brother. Not a slave, but a brother. He's higher than a slave. He's been saved by the Lord. So I would assume that I don't have all of the other stuff that goes along with it. But if Philemon took him in as a brother and taught him and brought him up in the Lord, and he became the bishop of a church in Ephesus. The Lord can work that way in all of our lives. Amen. The Lord can take and has many of the preachers and pastors that I even know, that I can think about around here, that I've been closely worked with or talked to or known in my lifetime. We're all rejects. And I can go to their own testimony to hear what they've said from time to time, knowing the sins that they have in their life for some of them. Jeff Elliott just pops out of my head so big, and I talk to him quite a bit. But Jeff Elliott wasn't necessarily the old church boy growing up. Not that he was doing anything horribly bad, but he was out drinking and drugs and everything else, and he'll tell you that pretty openly. But then he found God. And God can take a broken mess and take it and fix it up and make it into something that he can use to glorify his name. Don't ever think that you are too broken for God to fix, because there's been a lot worse than you. Paul. I don't think any of us have killed Christians on purpose because they're Christians. I was saved at 13 years old, and I know I wasn't a bad kid. I tried to get good grades in school. I was made to get good grades in school. And I worked and played football and baseball and basketball. And I was a pretty good kid. I got bad when I got older. But as a 13-year-old boy, I wasn't bad. And Dad was the pastor of the church. But that's no different than what Jeff says that he was before he was saved. I was a lost sinner. And I was separated from God. The only thing God asked me to do is put my faith in Him. He didn't ask me for money. He didn't ask me to anything else that I me, but just put faith in Him that He died for my sins and that He was my Savior. And He saved me. And one day when I stand before Him, one day when I can love to find Onesimus one day, and I see the similarities between what this is from Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, that what's there and what's being put forth in the exchange of the gospel that goes through from generation to generation, from not from high heads of states and not from high heads and all rich and all this pomp and circumstance that goes through of how great some people are. God takes some lowly times, the lowliest of low, and builds them. And if you look back through it, they've all been that way. David was just a little boy that was just a shepherd. He wasn't in the army. He wasn't doing all that. He wasn't even big enough to wear the armor. He brought him up to lead the nation. Joseph was sold into slavery. Lot and all these different things of the people in throughout the scripture. Many of them weren't much of anything, but just some old farmers. God used them. And it's not always the willing. Sometimes we fight as we go along the way about what we're supposed to do. If we will look to God for direction, He can use us. By saving my soul, a slave for God. We look back and again, just if I'm a slave for God, if I'm just His servant, that's Colossians. What do I do with that? And I look back through what we just talked about for the how they should behave, and I think about me as a servant of God. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Many times we take the word fearing and kind of put it in and think about it as with afraid of, or something. I fear a bear coming at me. I fear a poisonous snake. I fear some of these animals that can come and really hurt me. I fear some of these crazy people out there that you just don't know what they're going to do and that can hurt me and can harm me. God's not going to hurt me or harm me. God loves me. Fearing in this case, in this instance, me basically I'm just being in awe of an awesome God that is just indescribably good, that is always taking care of me. I don't have to fear Him hurting me. I don't have to fear Him harming me. I have to fear and look with an awesomeness of God that is there. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Do it with all that you have as to the Lord and not unto men. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to preach to you. I don't want to bring anything to you because I want you to be happy with me. And I think I've said this before. I don't care what you think of me. If you want to get rid of me, that's fine. I want to make sure that what God has for me is what I bring you. And if God's happy with me at the end of the day, I don't care what you think. And I love each and every one of you. I don't want that to sound harsh. But that's the way I believe that I was taught coming up, and I've learned from God that I need to be where He wants me to be. Not where anyone else wants me to be. If you're following God, you'll never be wrong. Never. And the problem is a lot of times it's opposite of what I want to do. And I think old Jonah is probably a pretty good representation of that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he did his own thing. Guess what? He went to Nineveh. He took the not so good of transportation there inside the belly of a great fish, but he got spit out on the beaches of Nineveh. Could have made it a lot easier on himself if he just went to Nineveh to begin with. When God tells us to do things, let's do it. Was there a great story that came out of Jonah? Sure was. That's an awesome one to think about. God will take care of us. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. This Lord that it's not like following that I'm working for some guy that's got some money, probably has some pull in the community that it made it easy on me if I do his work for him. I'm working for the master of all. That's my Lord. That's my master. If you're not happy with me, I don't care. I want to make sure the Lord's happy with me. I'm not here to please man. And the bad thing is, I'm man. I don't please myself some of the time. Most of the time when the messages that are given to me are for me more than anybody. And I can look at it and I can say, I don't want to please myself. Because I've talked about this, giving my best for Him. I fall short daily of my best. Said that before, that I just keep going back in my mind that God loves me. That little song we've sung just to start the service. Jesus loves me. Now we'll go a little farther, not just because the Bible tells me so, because He told me so.
Amen.
Amen.
That's my message today. We want to move forward. We want progress. We want to see anything in our lives. God is going to have to do it. I want to be working for Him. I want to be giving everything that I can. And again, I guess like I just said, I want to give everything I can. That's probably a lie. I'm not going to give everything I can. But I want to be better than what I'm doing now. I want to be, I want God to see me trying. You know what I'm saying? So many times that I can't be perfect, but I want you to just see I'm trying to do something. I want to be better. And I've said that for a long time, and I've failed at it for a long time. At least to my standards that I want to see in my life, I want to be better. So what can I do? Small steps. Don't think I'm going to be the best Christian ever this next week. But if I can do something better, start making strides. Because He deserves it. Every bit of it. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?